time. Amen. Amen. Because I want you to get this verse, and I want you to get it into your heart. I want you to feel this verse. Amen. From the King James translation of the Bible, Joshua, the first chapter, verse 8. Amen. If you have it, say amen. Amen. From the King James translation of the Bible, it reads thus. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a subject on this lesson this morning is, what do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? Amen? Amen. Dear God, our Father, as I come this morning, Father God, humble and humility, Father God, in my heart, in my mind, my soul belong to you, Father God. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would use me, Lord, and that these words, Father God, that has been spoken, Father God, that it would be because of you and for what you have done, for what you have placed in my spirit, in my heart. Father God, I pray right now that you would allow the Holy Spirit to reign fresh on me. Now, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And when I look at this scripture this morning, when it says what to do when you don't know what to do, and I look at this scripture, I think to myself, life is a bowl of cherries. All right. The trouble is cherries have pits. You can't go through life without facing a few problems somewhere along the way. Somebody hear me today? No one can escape from trouble. Everybody knows that sometimes in this life there is trouble. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you're good looking. I don't care if you're ugly. I don't care if you're fat. I don't care if you're small. I don't care what it is. When you go through this life, there's going to be some problems. There's going to be some problems. And because there's going to be some problems are always in our way. And I say there's going to be some problems simply because life is unpredictable. Jesus said this. He said, in this world there will be tribulation. And then I reflect back. Just into this year, I reflect back into, and I think it was in the month of May, when we witnessed this fairy tale. This fairy tale wedding with Prince Harris of England and which married Meghan Markle, a Hollywood actress, one that grew up in Compton. And I like to say sometimes that in Compton, one of the toughest part of the city, one of the toughest neighborhood in Los Angeles. But you know what? That was an unlikely couple to be married. Amen. And why do I say that? Because in the first place, they was even unlikely to meet because they was worlds apart. Then the second thing, they were different races. And then the third thing, they came from different economic backgrounds. But on their wedding day, there was something that took place on their wedding day, and we all saw the joy and the happiness of the new Duke and Duchess of Sussex. And it seemed as though they were destined to live the perfect life. And I can just imagine the one that we dream about. But I want you to be assured of one thing. Even in Harry and Meghan's life, there will be trouble. You know what? The status won't deter their own personal dilemmas. They're going to have dilemmas. It's going to be something that's going to come up. It's going to be something that's going to happen, and they're going to have to endure some tribulation even in the life that they have. And I want you to know that because that's the way it is, life is not a fairy tale. Life is not a fairy tale. Life's challenges forces us to make some difficult decisions, and sometimes we just know what to do. Sometimes we know what to do. And let me see if I can break this down in somebody's neighborhood, because I don't think you hear me this morning. You see, you have to make some decisions sometime when your money get funny. And you pay your car note before you pay your mortgage. Why do you do that? Well, I'm going to tell you why you do that. Hello, lights. You do that because you can live in your car, but you can't drive your car to work. You see, when your doctor say to you that your weight is jeopardizing your health, what is the first thing you do? You go and join a gym and watch what you eat. When your children go out, and they're teenagers now, they're getting up in the medium adult, and they go out, and you call yourself putting a curfew on them. And when you put a curfew on them, they don't come in when they were supposed to come in. What do? You rein in the privileges that you gave them. But you know what I say there, but let me ask you this one question. What if you lose your house because you lost your job? What if the doctor's diagnosis that he gave you was more serious than what he said? What if your teenager that we were talking about a few minutes ago don't even come home? What if all the changes that you make and all the things that you've done in this life didn't come out to the results that you desired? What do you do when you don't know what to do? You see, in this world and in this life, we talk about meditation, and especially in this 21st century. And if you look around from city to city, you see yoga classes popping up in every city. And when you look at these yoga classes, they're doing something. They're talking about cleansing your mind or clearing your mind or erasing some of the thoughts that you had or whatever's bothering you. And I know some people say, don't let that thing eat me up because it's just destroying me. But they're putting these clinics everywhere, and you're looking at them. But you know what? You need to focus on Jesus. You need to focus on Jesus. I was reading somewhere the other day that there was an app called Calm, C-A-L-M, Calm. You know, you can download it on your phone. It's supposed to eliminate your stress. Now, you know, if it was that easy, some of us who's not even tech savvy would go crazy trying to figure out how to download that app. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? If you're a believer, then it's plainly what you can do. If you're a believer, there's plenty you can do. If you're a believer, there's a way to get out from underneath the stress. If you're a believer, there's a way to make things look better. If you're a believer, there's the way that you can do things, because it says that you can retreat to the place that David called his high tower and his rock. It's your sanctuary for insanity. It's your immunity from lunacy. It's your shelter from senselessness. Your protection from persecution. When all of these things come about you, when mayhem come and confusion come and just plain mess that come in and mess up your life and is front and center, there is a balm in Gilead to save your sin-sick soul. How do you find this balm? Well, I'm glad that you asked. How do you find this high tower? How do you find this sanctuary from suffering? You can't find it on GPS. Let me tell you that right now. You know, your friends and family can't help you. This is something that you got to go do on your own. It's something that you have to do. And Christians need to know that it's only the way to deal with that is through Christ. Because when the crisis come up in your life, you need to go to Jesus. And I say all of that to say this. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Well, the first thing I want to tell you is that you ponder God's promises. Ponder God's promises. Think about them. Mull them over in your mind. Do them like a cow do his do the grass that he chewed, and he chew it up and put it in his cud. You gotta mull it over. You gotta make it your own. You gotta be sensitive to it. You gotta let Jesus know, let God know that you know that his promises are great. Because Jesus said that God said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. He said that he was in your strong tower. He said that you are the one that he keep looking at. You are the one that he created back when he took man, back in Genesis, when he knelt down by the rivers of water and formed man out of the dust of the ground and knelt down by his side and breathed the breath of life into his nostril, and man became a living soul. That's you. That's you. You see, but I do say that there's a method of keeping God's promises fresh in our minds and on our lips. It's called meditation. Meditation do a lot of things. Meditation bolster our resolve and strengthen our faith. Meditation, good God Almighty, when we meditate, we allow the Spirit to guide our reasoning process. Take us to a higher understanding of God's grace and mercy. Do you know that God's grace and mercy is sufficient for everything and for everybody? Do you know that if you are a child of God and you meditate on God's word, that he would reveal to you what he wants you to know, when you want to know it, how you need to know it, what you need to do about it, where you need to carry it from, how you need to take it, how you need to fill it in your life, how you need to run with it, how you need to talk with it, how you need to tell somebody about it, how you need to do the thing the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8 and 10 and 8, he said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And let me tell you one thing. You've got to keep God's promises close in your mouth and in your heart. And no matter what kind of storm you're going through, no matter what adversities come in your life, you got to keep God's promises close to you. You got to know what God's promises are. And first of all, let me tell you, in the book of Exodus, his promise says this in 14 and 4, the Lord will fight for you. Another promise in Isaiah 40:31 says, the Lord will renew your strength. In Romans 8:38-39, it says, the Lord love you continually and unconditionally. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. And one I like is that Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good. And let me tell you something, that's just the beginning. God's promises are so many, they are so numerous, that it took 66 books to contain them all. You see, when Christ has come, you need to ponder on God's word. You need to ponder on God's promise. You need to ponder on God's love. You need to ponder on his sacrifice for you. You need to ponder on his mercy towards you. You need to ponder the fact that the Philippians 4 and 7 says, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You need to ponder on that for a while. And I'm going to tell you something, my favorite one come from the book of Isaiah 41:10, where it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yeah. I will help thee, yeah. I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. The only way to know God's promises is to meditate on God's promises. The second thing is that you need to follow God's plan. You see, the Bible keeps saying in Joshua 1 and 8, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all things that is written therein. Too many people today go through life following their own plan. And let me tell you something, that's how we mess things up. That's how we get things messed up. That's why every now and then, you know, somebody say, well, you know what? My life is messed up. I'm tore up from the neck. I'm tore up from the head. My head is messed up. I'm tore up from the flow up. I'm just messed up. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to do. I don't know why the people are talking about me. I don't know where they carry this. I don't know why they are talking about me like this. I'm messed up, and I need to find a way out. And then we look at this. We're messed up. And we know that we're messed up. And we know that we have walked away from God. And then we want God to wave a magic wand and fix our problems. You know, the Bible says, the Word said that we should be equally yoked. But we marry the first person that'll have us. You know, the Word said that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. But we spent a fortune on makeovers and Botox and plastic surgery. The Word say that we should honor the Lord with our first fruit. Men, but we spent all our tithes on rims for our cars. A designer clothes that looks good, and shoes, and ladies, don't forget your Coach, your bag, and all of those things. And men, don't forget your golf clubs and anything else that is enticing when the ad say that we need to have this or we must have this. We want to go out and get it, but we don't want to give God 10 cents and God give us everything that we already have. God told the weeping prophet Jeremiah. He told him in Jeremiah 29:11, he told him, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I don't know about you, but I like the sound of that, an expected end. You know, God has a plan for each one of us. God has a plan for your life. God, you know what? He's taking us somewhere. We need to stop and listen to the Word of God. We need to stop and listen to what God is saying to us. He's taking us somewhere. You see, all I can say is that this: God has a plan for your life. You remember when Jesus was on the Sea of Gennesaret, and he was going over to the other side, and the waves began to roll, and everything was beginning to toil up, and the people said that we may perish, but he was down in the bottom of the boat asleep. Let me tell you one thing. At that point in time, Jesus had a plan for their life. He had a plan for their life then, got a plan for your life now. He have a purpose for your life. And I like to say this: if Jesus got a plan for your life, and if he got a purpose for your life, he will give you the provision that you need to get from one side of the boat to the other side of the boat. He will allow you to get from the trouble that you're having, from the mess that you're in, to say hallelujah to God, because he's brought you from the rough side of the mountain and put you down on the smooth side. My God, when trouble comes, just follow Jesus' plan. Just follow God's plan. And don't worry about the outcome. You see, some of us worry about, well, if I do this, then that's going to happen. Or if I say this, they're not going to like me about that. If I go here, they're not going to like, somebody going to see me, and they won't worry about it. But let me tell you one thing. When you follow God's plan, don't worry about the outcome. Why? Because that's God's responsibility. And then finally, ponder God's promises, follow God's plan, and finally trust God's power. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, and thou shalt do according to what is written therein, and then thy days shall be prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Do you want to be prosperous and successful? Then you got to trust God's power. How can you say that you're motivated on God's word and that you hid it in your heart and you resign yourself to follow God's plan, and then all of these things that you say you're going to do, and then you stop and don't want to tell nobody how good God has been in your life? How can you say that you're going to do these things and then God is telling you to do something? God is telling you to go somewhere. God is telling you to feed the hungry. God is telling you to clothe those that need clothed. And God is telling you to help those that need helping. God is telling you that the lady standing in line at the supermarket that don't have enough money to buy milk for her children, to shut up and put the money forward and let her give her children some milk. How many of you that like stand at the gas station and somebody's begging for a quarter, a dollar, a dime, and you roll your windows up because you don't want to hear what they got to say? Somebody need to understand and that God, that you need to trust God's power, because every time you give something out, which means that you got to open it up, and when you open it up, God is going to put something else back in there, and you need to run. Something happens when you entrust your life to God. You find perfect peace. You know what Isaiah said in Isaiah 26 and 3? That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. In Philippians 4 and 7 says that in the peace of God, that which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And then 2 Peter 1 and 2, Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. All I can say is that these patriarchs, these ones that I'm talking about, trusted the Lord. They stayed focused on his promises. They followed his plan. And they finished well, because they fixed their eyes upon the prize. I don't know what your prize is, but my prize is Christ. And so you need to keep your eyes fixed on Christ. You remember young Timothy. Young Timothy took over leadership in the church of Ephesus, in that fledgling church. And no doubt he was concerned about how old he was, about his youth, his ability to lead the body of Christ in a new doctrine. He was surrounded by tribulation. He was surrounded by Roman oppression. He was surrounded by threats of war. He was surrounded by disrupted economy. He was surrounded by intimidation from the scribes and Pharisees of the Jewish faith, who refused to accept Christ as their Messiah. He could have lost his focus with all of those dangers that he found in his way. But Paul told him something in 1 Timothy 4, 14 and 15. He said in the letter, he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself worthy to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. In other words, he was telling Timothy to be like a, I don't know about you, but I'm an old country boy, be like a plow horse where they got blinders on. I don't want you to look to the right. I don't want you to look to the left. I want you to plow straight ahead, because God got something for you. I want you to plow straight ahead, because your Savior said that if you trust in him, you could overcome the situation that you find yourself in. If you trust in him, he will take you where he wants you to go. If you trust in him, what do you do when you don't know what to do? You ponder God's promises. You follow God's plan. You trust God's power. Why do you do these things? Well, I'm glad that you asked, Hello Lights. Because God is the solution for all of our problems. God is the answer to all of our prayers. God is the resource for all our needs. He's the comfort in our crisis. He's strength in our weakness. He's the savior of our soul. Somebody need to understand here today that I just look at this and I go, all I want to do on today is ponder God's promises. All I want to do today is follow God's plan. All I want to do today is trust God's power. Why do I want to do those things? Because when you've gone as far as you can go, because when you come to your wit's end, why do I want to follow these things? Because when you feel that you're going down for the third time, when your burdens are getting too heavy for you to bear, when your nerves are shot to pieces, when you just can't stand the pressure anymore, God that I know is getting ready to work a miracle in your behalf. When, what do? When you don't know what to do, well, I'm glad that I can ponder on God's promises. I'm so glad that I can follow God's plan. I'm so glad that when I get down to my last dime, I can trust God's power. And I know one thing, that no matter what the world might say, my help is on the way. I can set all of my help come from the Lord. I know that when I do, when what to do, when you don't know what to do, I can go to my prayer closet. I can call on the name of Jesus. What to do when I don't know what to do? I can go to him in prayer. He always answers. What to do when I don't know what to do? I can say, Lord, have mercy on me. What to do when I don't know what to do? He's my lily of the valley. I can call on him. He's my brightest morning star. I can call on him. He's my shelter. I can call on him. He's my rock of ages. I can call on him. What to do when I don't know what to do? I know the Lord will make a way out of no way. I know the Lord will take care of me. I know he will, because Jesus the Christ come down on Calvary's mountain. He died for a wretch like me. He climbed that old hill, that hill called Golgotha. They nailed him to a cross between two thieves. I'm so glad that he hung them, and I can hear him hanging down when he said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But I could also hear him say, Lord God, into thy hand I commit my spirit. He put his head in the locks of his shoulder. He died on Calvary's hill. Oh, they buried him in Joseph's new tomb. He stayed buried for 3 days, all day Friday, all day Saturday. But early on Sunday morning, early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. And now he's gone right on back to glory. And I know he's making intercessions for you and for me. So as I hear today, as I sit here today, I can ponder God's promises. I can follow God's plan. I can trust God's power, because he's all power. He's all knowing. He all know all about me. He know my weakness. He know my strength. He know my shortcomings. He know my ups. He know my downs. He's all around me. He carry me in the arm of his bosom. I just know that he walks with me. He talks with me. He tell me that I'm his own. I love you, Lord. I know that my Savior lives as you go through your day, go through your week, read God's word, meditate on God's word, hide God's word in your heart. Please, I implore you to ponder on God's promises. The Bible is full of promises. Follow God's plan, not your own, and trust God's power. God bless you. To God be the glory.